Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, we come before you, as you say in your word, because you first loved us, we then have the capacity to love you back. As believers, we thank you, Almighty God, for saving us through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you so much for the willingness that you came, the love you showed and shared in your life, and then the ultimate love through sacrifice, where you died not just for friends, but even for those that were enemies. You died on the cross for us. But you didn't stay dead. You rose from the dead. And you're living today, living physical Savior. And we thank you so much for this. There's no better time than Valentine's for us to express our love back to you. I pray that this service will be all about our love for you and being part of your work here on this earth until the day you call us home or return. We give you the glory. I pray for the Longs right now. I pray that you will comfort Wayne and Linda. Give them strength and courage to be able to comfort other family members. Maybe even offer the opportunity for them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others will know that someday they too will be able to see Boyd once again when they go home upon their acceptance of Christ. May this service honor you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Now I know you like that one. Please stand and join in hymn number 237, I Stand Amazed in the Presence.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul.
seated.
We would like to take a moment and dedicate this song to someone that we found out loves this song. And I hope we can do it justice. This is dedicated to Gennell. Happy Valentine's Day. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. Never know what faith in God could do.
Thank you for that. The remembrance of the righteous is a blessing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. Please stand and join in our offertory hymn number 380, Make Me a Blessing.
Sorrowing blood, make me a so many ways. You have given us a wonderful place to gather to worship you, friends, family. You provide for us daily, giving us sunshine. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come back to you with our tithes and offerings. What a pleasure it is to serve you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Normally when I speak, I try to at least start down on the floor and so forth, but the lapel mic that I had is on the blink right now, so we'll try to remedy that as soon as possible, because I do like to be down there a little more than I get to sometimes. So, well, last week we explored some of the persons of the Bible who pointed to the fulfillment and satisfaction of the saving work of Jesus. And that is that through Jesus, that void that is in every human being, that is behind so many pursuits of things that are in the end worthless, are solved and fulfilled in Jesus. I likened the pointing of people like Paul and Peter and Philip, among others, and the pointing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I likened their pointing, as they pointed to Jesus, as Jesus pointed to himself, to that of a laser pointer. And that's what I brought last week, and I have that here, just so, a laser pointer. It's very nice, because with a laser pointer, you can pinpoint what you're pointing at. You know that I'm pointing at this little bush growing in the middle of a stream. Now, if I were to just point with my finger, you'd have to guess what I was pointing at. I even started last week with pointing with my eyes, and sometimes you have no idea what a person's pointing at. In fact, many speakers are taught to not even look at people, they look at just above their heads. Now, I try to look at you, okay? But you would never really know with my eyes. With my finger, it's a little better. If I had a stick, it might make it a little better. But with a laser pointer, you would know exactly what I'm pointing at. And right now I'm pointing at the clock, but don't look there because we're not worried about the time. And an hour and a half will go by and you won't even know it. But that's the kind of pointer we should be. If we are true believers, we will be like a laser pointer pointing people to Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we were to make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have kind of taken that verse and made it into not a motto, but hopefully just who we are at Zora Baptist Church, and that is people who are loving people to loving Jesus. Pointing then people to Jesus. B.F. Mills, a preacher from a couple generations ago, told the following story. I remember going downstairs in a hotel about midnight. I had some letters in my hand that I wished to mail, and the clerk was not in the office, but a policeman was there. And he said, "I'll take those letters and mail them for you." I thanked him and handed them to him and started back up the stairs. As I went, I heard a voice saying to me, "Why did you not speak to that policeman about Christ?" I said, "It was because I would not do any good." The voice said, "How do you know?" I kept going up all the time. "Why did you not speak to him about his soul?" I said, "Lord, he didn't look as though he had a soul. He was a very fleshly, worldly-looking sort of man." The voice said, "Are you going to preach to others and then be cast away yourself?" I said, "No, Lord. No, Lord. I'll go back." I started down the stairs, Pastor Mills said. But I heard the door shut, and when I came into the office, the policeman had gone. I had a sore heart that night, and a sore heart the next day. I said to myself, "If I see that man again, I will preach Christ to him, if it is a possible thing at all." And then to my great surprise and joy, he came into the afternoon meeting where I was preaching and sat down on a back seat. There was a throng there, and I tried, by the way, they're heading to get ready for the potluck, so they weren't just offended by anything I said. Just want y'all to know. And there, in the throng, after the benediction, I tried to go back to where he was seated, but the aisles were too filled, and I couldn't get to him. But then I waited, and talking with people, all of a sudden, the aisles cleared, and there was this policeman standing there with tears in his eyes and streaming down his cheeks. And he came to me and said, "I never had known what it meant to be a Christian, but if you will tell me, I want to become one now." Because of this, Pastor Mills said, "Oh, I believe that all about us, touching our elbows today, waiting in the store and in the street, looking into our faces across the table, are people who are waiting for the touch of a living, earnest Christian to lead them to Jesus." It's important for us to understand, like I spoke about in the series just before this, Partnering with God, that we truly are partners with God, and that we are partners in the work of pointing to Jesus. Not just with our finger, but may I say, laser pointing to Jesus. We are partners with God in doing this. Today we're going to look into God's Word and discover why we point. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I thank you for a pastor like Pastor Mills. He shows us this great man of God, yet he's very human. He has the same struggles we have and issues we have. I thank you for second chances like he had and that we can have. I thank you that he was faithful the second time to share the gospel. May we be faithful in our own lives with the people we touch, the people we come across. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Now, Acts is a wonderful book to study. It's not so much a book of doctrine, but it's a historical setting for the books that we gain our doctrine from, called the epistles, written by Paul and Peter, Jude and James and John. In Acts, we'll be reading at a point where Jesus, Acts chapter 1, Jesus is showing himself to his disciples, risen from the dead. He's showing that he is bodily and physically alive, and the verse we're going to read is a point where Jesus is explaining to them what they need to do, therefore explaining to us what we need to do. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There are lots of implications by this command of Jesus. We talk about this when we talk about missions and going into our community, going into our county, our state, other states, and then internationally we talk about missions, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a command, and it is not for just our missionaries. It's not just for our pastors or just our deacons. It is for all who truly believe. We are to be pointing to Jesus. It's not a new command. The psalmist tells us of the same command. We can read it in Psalm chapter 96, verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonderful works among all peoples, as he speaks of Almighty God. At this point, the psalmist wrote what he wrote as he looked forward to the coming Messiah, the coming Son of God. So though the declaration of what needs to be declared, God's glory, has not changed, the command for that has not changed, but the fulfillment has. And so that which we declare is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, which is Jesus. And we have the wonderful privilege, the wonderful opportunity of pointing with our lives and our words Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. The Bible, especially through the New Testament, teaches that Jesus is the light, saying that he is the light of the world because he illumines the darkness in the hearts of humankind that is made up of those things that are deceitful, distasteful, ugly, and evil. We then are to be the light to this dark world. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. So why do we point? Because we're commanded to. Jesus, our commander, said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." A small side note. Though we discussed last week that God the Father points to Jesus, that even Jesus, for our good, pointed to himself, and the Holy Spirit pointed to Jesus, but if you look throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus pointed to himself for one reason. Because Jesus always pointed to God the Father. And so he would point us to him because he knew that the only way to God the Father for us was through him, so that we then could point to God the Father. But our lives need to be spent pointing to Jesus, because that is the only way a person can be made right before God the Father. So then, as I had already given as a passage in the previous series, Partnering with God, it didn't just give what we're partnering with, but it gave why as a command. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. In Matthew, Jesus just told us we're to be a light to the world. Now in Corinthians, everything is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I don't know if we realize this, but let's think about this for a moment. Almighty Creator God, who needs nothing from us, has given us the duty to go out into this world and say, be reconciled to God. That's huge, that he entrusts that work to us, to be that light in this world. So when we share the gospel, it's not a chore. Yes, we are commanded to do it, but what an honor. I think of the Marines that guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That is a grueling, grueling honor. It is. I don't know if you've ever been there. Unlike the guards at the Buckingham Palace, people don't come here and make fun of these guys. Or if they do, good gracious, I can't imagine. Why would you ever make fun of a Marine holding a rifle? I don't know why you would do that. But nevertheless, in the summer, could you imagine how grueling that would be to stand at attention? I don't know how long their shifts are, but it's crazy. Hours. How many? 12-hour shifts? Oh, I can't imagine. Well, however long it is. But nevertheless, those guys are commanded to do something so grueling as that, and they do it with pleasure. They consider it a great honor for their lives. And we are given an even greater honor. Be reconciled to Almighty God. We're commanded. We're commanded to take hold of a privilege. Like Pastor Mills, who knew he was being commanded to speak to the gospel to that policeman. He didn't at first. He regretted it. And maybe we know people that we should have shared the gospel with, whom we should have shared the gospel. Maybe we know someone. Maybe someone's coming to our mind. Ask God for a second chance. Ask him for a second chance and then look for it and take it with the privilege of the command that we tell others to be reconciled to God. We know now, if we didn't before, that we're commanded to share the gospel. But there's another reason of why we should point to Jesus, and that is we should point to him because of his sacrifice for us. He shared and showed love to us. And so out of gratefulness for the salvation that we claim through him, we should thank, in thankfulness, share the gospel and point people to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ Jesus and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. I love that wording. You think of the word, it doesn't say that we get to spread the stink of the knowledge. Because that gives a whole other connotation, doesn't it? It talks of an aroma. Now, ladies, when you think of aroma, you might think of flowers, ones you like, and summertime or springtime and summertime and the aroma of that. But gentlemen, I think of steak grilling on the grill. That aroma. And then I think of, with the gospel, there's enough of it to share with everyone and I'll have all I want. That kind of aroma. Why wouldn't I want to share that with others out of gratefulness? Out of absolute gratefulness. I love the truthful innocence that comes from little children, don't you? Sometimes it's brutal truth. Sometimes it's just sweet. Like this. At the age of 5, a little girl named Hannah made an insightful statement about her newfound faith in Jesus. She told her mother, "I think Jesus has moved out of my heart." With curiosity and concern, her mom asked where Hannah thought Jesus had gone. And Hannah replied, "He's moved into my throat because all I want to do is tell people about him." Now, if that isn't gratefulness, what is? Isn't that beautiful? Well, why have we lost that? Why have I lost that? Why have you lost that? Out of gratefulness, Jesus is in our heart, but let's let Him move to our throat and tell others about Jesus. Out of gratefulness, yes, we're commanded, but we're commanded to, with honor, to deliver a very pleasing, aromatic message of God. And then let's do it out of gratefulness to where we can't do anything but share Jesus. We're commanded. We're grateful. But we need to think of the alternative for those who don't hear or who reject Jesus. We need to understand the reality of eternal hell. It's real. Now, for those of us who truly believe, we've truly accepted Jesus, calling upon Him to be Lord or commander of our life, and then live it in obedience, sharing the gospel, and we believe or trust in our heart that God raised Jesus bodily, physically from the dead, we're saved. So therefore, as Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1 says, we are not condemned. No one is condemned who is in Christ Jesus. Quick paraphrase. But we should be very concerned about community members, neighbors, friends, and family who are lost, who don't show the fruit of salvation in their life. Because there will be judgment. The psalmist again, Psalm chapter 145, verse 20. The Lord guards all those who love Him. That's those who are saved, as I just described. But He destroys all the wicked. There are only two sets of humankind at their death. No matter how good you might think a person is on earth or not. At death, there are those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And God loves them and He guards them. And then there are those who don't. And because of God's holiness, they are wicked. God is holy. He is holy. And He will not allow anything that is uncovered by the blood of Jesus to enter into a relationship with Him. Any person that sees creation, because the Bible is very clear that God reveals Himself and reveals His glory in creation. So any person that is born experiencing creation at all, breath, sight, hearing, any of those, they are without excuse. And rejection then of Jesus is their condemnation, is their judgment. It's sure that they will have eternity in hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. This is a hard thing to hear, but we have to hear it. Taking vengeance with flaming fire on those who don't know God and on those who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction from the Lord's presence and from His glorious strength. May I be so bold as to say to each one of us, and I'm including myself, please understand, I'm including myself, how dare we say that we love and or care for a community member, a neighbor, a friend, or family member, if we do not share the love and saving gospel of Jesus our Lord? How dare we say that we love or care for them? God has no desire for anyone to perish. And He has no desire to condemn, but remember, He is holy. And because He's holy and has no desire to do this, He made a way for us to be washed clean, and that is through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. And the only way to be made right with God is through Jesus and Jesus alone. John chapter 3. In our minds, almost instantly, most of us probably think verse 16, but I'm going to skip to verse 17 and 18. For God did not send His Son into the world that He might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God, Jesus. Do we see the importance that it is to not just, oh, I'm going to live a good life and be like this, pointing to Jesus, but the importance of laser pointing to Jesus? Because we're commanded to. Because we're grateful. We're grateful for the honor to get to call out to people, be reconciled to God. And because we know the eternal consequence for those that don't. Some time ago, 18-year-old Susan attended a worship service at a church near her home. For the first time in her life, she heard the gospel message. The following Tuesday, the members of the church received a letter from her, and it read, "Dear church members, last Sunday I attended your church, and I heard the preacher. In the sermon, the preacher said that all men have sinned and rebelled against God. Because of their rebellion and disobedience, they all face eternal damnation and separation from God. But then he also said God loves man and sent his Son Jesus Christ into the world to redeem men from their sins, and that all those who believe in him would go to heaven and live with God eternally. My parents recently died in rapid succession. I know they did not believe in Jesus Christ, whom you call the Savior of the world. If what you believe is true, and they are condemned, you compel me to believe that either the message is true, that you yourself doesn't believe this message, or that you don't care. You see, we live only 3 blocks from your church, and no one ever told us. That's a tough message. That's a tough message. I pray a letter like this can never be written to the church body of Zohar Baptist Church. I pray it can't. And the way that a letter can never be written like that is that each of us as individuals do our part. We don't sit there and look across and say, see, I knew they should have shared the gospel with so-and-so. No. Let's point back at ourselves. All 10 fingers pointed at ourselves. Am I doing my part? Am I following the command that Jesus has given us to be the light in the world? Am I going out with gratefulness in my heart? Am I keeping the reality of eternity, either to life or to death, in mind? Am I doing my part to share and then truly love and care for the community member, the neighbor, the friend, the family member? It's very important for us to understand that God will often give us second, third, fourth chances. God is long-suffering, but He's not forever suffering. Let us be about His work as individuals and as a church body. Our challenge for today, first I say I hope that we each took last week's challenge, and that was to pray that God would show us where we were strong in pointing to Jesus and capitalize on that, and pray where that God would show us where we're weak in pointing to Jesus and start working on that. This week, the challenge is this: that each of us will seek out one person that maybe we should have in the past shared the gospel with, or something that comes new, an opportunity to share the gospel. And that we will actually seek prayerfully, yes, but actually be looking for someone to share, at least with our testimony, how God changed our life. At least with that. And share, be reconciled with God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, this is a hard message. This is a hard one for me to preach because it's a hard one for me to hear. I pray that you will work in my heart, work in the hearts of all those that claim true belief in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And may we become better and better pointers to Jesus. Today we discuss why we point. We point because, God, we need to be more obedient to your command. We point because we need to show gratefulness and gratitude for our salvation. We point because we have an understanding of the reality of eternity, eternal death, and for us, eternal life. And we want people to be rescued from eternal death, just like you want. May we do our part. In Jesus' name, amen.